starts with It's Love, Leonard Bernstein, Comden and Green. And I had the amazing experience of actually singing with Lenny one night down here in Key West at a dinner party. We were all drinking grappa, as I recall. And after dinner, he said, Libby, let's go to the piano and play some blues. And I remember I did a Billie Holiday. I think I did Fine and Mellow. You know, he was smart. He figured any singer is going to know a blues. And it was, you know, remarkable. So I have my little touch with greatness.
It's Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com, and welcome to another episode of Around Town. Today we have the great vocalist Libby York joining us today. She's got a brand new recording out called Dreamland, which we're going to talk about. That's her fifth release, and she has a show coming up, a special release show coming up at Winters Jazz Club, April 20th, wintersjazzclub.com, 7:30 p.m., 9:30 p.m. sets. We're going to hear all about that as well. But Libby, great to see you. I'm glad you're coming back into town, and I'm looking forward to hearing you live. But I am really enjoying this new release. So congratulations, and how are you?
I'm good. It's nice to see you. And looking forward to getting back in Chicago, and we'll be at Winters, and it's always like coming home. So born and raised in Chicago. So that's it.
It is like coming home. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about this new release, Dreamland. All right. So you put it out, it's your fifth release as a leader. And, you know, I've seen you perform lots of times, and I've heard your past recordings and stuff, but this one's a little bit different. Because to me, it's more on the minimalist side, because you don't have, I mean, there's drums on a few tracks, but it's very interesting because I feel like you can really tell the story behind the tunes that you're doing, you know, because sometimes when not you specifically, but when a vocalist has a rhythm section going and everything's going, there's lots of different things happening. Sometimes the lyrics are there, but they're not front and center. This recording, just listening to it, I went through it. I haven't really done a deep dive, but listening to it, the lyrics really jumped out. I mean, talk a little bit about the process behind that, and talk about the process of selecting some of the repertoire, because these are all jazz standards, quote unquote, but they're not the typical jazz standards. So I was unsure some of them, if you even wrote some of them. I had to go and do a little bit of research. So I think that's pretty interesting as well. So talk a little bit about the process.
Yeah, it was, you know, like a lot of us suffering through a couple of years with no work and no clubs open. After it's my kind of my post pandemic effort. I think I just wanted to do less is more and really focus on the lyric and, not have a whole lot going on, just have it be really simple. And these tunes range from things that have been with me for many years to brand new ones for me. And I love it when people say, I don't know any of these songs. Oh, that's great. You know, I've developed my interesting repertoire over the years of just stuff that I like, basically. Some of them have connections with teachers of mine, like the Abby Lincoln tune. And then Randy, you know, I met Randy Napoleon at the Jazz Showcase in Chicago when he was playing with Freddie Cole. He was out with Freddie for a long time. And, we just hit it off and started talking about maybe recording. And then it just all happened. And adding, having Rodney Whitaker on bass, who's just an absolute master. Mm-hmm. And Chris Rodney's head of the jazz department at Michigan State. And Randy teaches there too. And then we have Keith Hall on drums on four tracks. So yeah, it's quiet and soft. It's the kind of music I like lately.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when you bring up Randy Napoleon, the pianist and who also helped produce.
Guitarist, who also helped produce the recording.
But he was out with Freddie Cole, and Freddie Cole was like a master of singing, phrasing, but also telling the story in the tune, right? I mean, when you listen to Freddie perform and he's playing the tune, you hear the lyrics and you understand, and it's almost like he's deep inside the lyric. I mean, so that had to be something with Randy on the recording, and you're kind of like, you know, the same way, right? So, I mean, that was kind of like a nice match made in heaven there.
Yeah. And, you know, Freddie too was a master at finding old songs that nobody else did, you know. But I always, Rodney had me up to do a master class at Michigan State. I said, Rodney, I can't tell these guys, kids, most anything about music theory. But he said, no, they don't need that. They've got that. They need information about what a life on stage is like. I thought, well, okay, I have a little experience with that. And, you know, they have an amazing, was mostly guys, because there's no vocal department. I know that's a stereotype. There are several really good female instrumentalists. But anyway, one of the things I told them was learn the lyrics to the songs. And oh, really? Oh, the lyrics. Yeah, these aren't just a bunch of changes. You know, these songs are about something. So that was good information, I think, for all of us to remember, you know.
Well, I can remember Dennis de Blasio. I was at a clinic one time with him, and he was talking about that exact thing. And no matter if you play drum set, saxophone, upright bass, even if you're not a vocalist, you have to know the lyric, because you have to know what the meaning behind the tune is, right, which is going to help you phrase, which is going to help you understand why you're playing this tune. So, I mean, what you're describing, like, kind of, you know, everybody should really learn the lyrics if they really want to understand this music, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and then, you know, improvise like crazy. But some of these songs, some of them started, you know, as Broadway tunes, because I've included the verses to some of them, which mm-hmm. is the connection between the spoken book part of the play and the music. But they swing like crazy too, you know, which is so fun. So we really had a ball recording this. It was up at Troubadour Studios in Lansing, Michigan, near the campus. And Corey DeRuscio, wonderful engineer. We just locked in, you know. I felt like we really were present together in the studio, and I hope it shows in the recording.
Well, it does. And I don't like to admit this. I don't like to admit this, but it actually was kind of nice without the drums on a lot of these tracks, because I could really hear it. Now, as a drummer, I'm completely against that. But but no, it was nice, because I felt like you guys could do different things with the tunes, maybe when you sat down to conceptualize them, just because there wasn't that pulse behind it that you were hearing or something like that. I mean, what was the process like when you started going through the tunes and it was just guitar, upright bass, and yourself, basically? I mean, that must have just kind of just opened up things a little bit more compared to normally when you'd have, you know, the drums and the bass playing behind something and pushing the tempos and things like that.
Right. I think, you know, all of us have been doing it a while. So it's, yes, you're more exposed, you know, with only yep. three players. But then you get, I just have this memory of locking into Rodney and Randy, you know, while we were playing. And it was just one of those things that just worked. So, yeah, I like the minimalist aspect of this record.
So let's talk about some of the tunes, because you mentioned, you know, they're not tunes that a lot of people would necessarily know, but they're tunes that you enjoy and tunes that you've been listening to. Just talk about the selection, because you have a lot of tracks on here. What is it, like 12 or something? 12 or 14?
I think so. Like yeah.
And I didn't really recognize most of them, which is great. I mean, that, you know, it really opened everything up. So talk a little bit about the selections on the recording. I know you mentioned a little bit because there's meanings behind different tunes, but also are some of them just because you enjoy what the song is about, like the lyric is about? I mean, how important is the lyric to you selecting some of these tunes?
Oh, very, very important. You know, it's poetry. And John Bishop, who is the head of Origin Records, suggested I write my own liner notes, which I did. And in the liner notes, I explained why I chose some of these. You know, it starts with "It's Love," Leonard Bernstein, Comden and Green. And I had the amazing experience of actually singing with Lenny one night down here in Key West at a dinner party. We were all drinking grappa, as I recall. And after dinner, he said, "Libby, let's go to the piano and play some blues." And I remember I did a Billie Holiday. I think I did "Fine and Mellow." You know, he was smart. He figured any singer is going to know a blues. And it was, you know, remarkable. So I have my little touch with greatness on "It's Love." And then "Throw It Away" is Abby Lincoln's composition about throwing the I Ching, the ancient Chinese book of changes. And I was fortunate to study with Abby in New York in the early 80s at a workshop. She was one of our teachers and, you know, made a huge impression on me. And I love this "Throw It Away" song. Her lyrics are like no others. "Cloudy Morning" is one I've only heard Peggy Lee do. Beautiful song. And then, "Rhode Island is Famous for You." I first heard Sandy Stewart do it at the 92nd Street Y, Bill Charlap's, you know, program.
Mm-hmm.
He programs every summer. And just great, fun lyrics. So, yeah, each one, I like producing my own records because I get to do exactly what I want.
Well, and it also helps, though, too, because I always talk about this with different artists that, you know, you have like masters coming in the studio with you. So I'm sure that part of your process, I would imagine, is that you select the tunes, you go through it, you kind of have an idea of how you want to do it. But when you bring it in and you and Randy and Rodney are there, and then even when Keith comes in to play drums on a couple of tracks, I'm sure they all have ideas, right? So you all kind of bounce ideas off of each other and kind of figure, okay, this is a great, better direction to go with this, or I'm kind of feeling this on the bass. What do you think about this? I mean, it's the collaborative feel of it too, right? So that you can take and get the best out of the entire session, I would imagine.
Yeah, and really with players like Randy and Rodney, I don't need to tell them anything. I'll set the tempo. But they're just so darn good that it just kind of, Randy and I got together the day before and plotted out some of the intros and outros and, you know, general feel. And this one, another thing I've learned, and well, it's my fifth recording, which is not a lot compared to a lot of musicians, but as you, like anything, the more you do it, hopefully the better you get at it. And I was so aware that mic is like whispering in somebody's ear, you know, it's so intimate. And I was very aware of that. It's a different way of singing than singing live, you know, it's yeah. Very... you can be very soft and subtle. And that opens up lots of possibilities, I think, you know, and space, lots of space.
That's what you hear on this recording. But the space, I think, adds to the entire feel of the entire recording, which is what I really liked about it. So Dreamland, of course, Libby York's brand new release. It's on Origin Records, LibbyYork.com. And you're also coming into Chicago April 20th. You're going to be at Winters Jazz Club, like I mentioned at the beginning. Of course, we all know Winters, 465 North McClurg Court. Winters Jazz Club, 7:30 p.m., 9:30 p.m. sets. And I just always like to tell everybody there is valet now at Winters. It's not Winters, but you can pull up out in Illinois and there's a valet, so you can park and they'll take your car and you don't have to go searching around. So Scott's made it even easier now, which is fantastic. But now who's on the release show with you? Because you got a lot of names on the release show I do recognize. So why don't you talk a little bit about that band?
Yeah, it's Pete Benson on piano, Dennis Carroll on bass. I've never had the chance to work with Dennis before. So
really?
That's gonna be fun. Yeah, certainly heard him a lot. But
yeah.
And then Eric Schneider, the great Eric Schneider. So we will have fun. And I think Tom Vices is going to come sit in as well. Tom came down here to Key West and played a couple concerts with me, and we had a great time. So he's going to stop in. And who knows, there may be couple of other special guests, but it'll be a party for sure on the 20th of April.
So it'll be on the 20th of April, Winners Jazz Club, winnersjazzclub.com. And then you're also going to be in town and you're going to do a little preview thing. And we all love WDCB 90.9 FM, College of DuPage. You're going to be on with Bruce Oscar, 3 p.m. Uncle Bruce, April 17th, you'll be on with him kind of previewing the show as well, right? So everybody can tune into that.
Yeah, 3 p.m. on the 17th in the studio with Bruce. WDCB is sponsoring the evening, so that's always great. Yeah, really looking forward to seeing my Chicago friends.
Well, we're looking forward to having you back in town. So, of course, everybody head over to LibbyYork.com, pick up the new release, Dreamland, and be sure, if you're in Chicago and you're watching this, April 20th, Winters Jazz Club, winnersjazzclub.com. Libby, thank you so much. This is great. And I'm going to see you on the 20th. I'm going to try to make a point to get over there and see you. And, yeah, it'll be good to have you back in Chicago for a little while here this summer. Thank you.
Looking forward to it. I always like to see the lake.
Well, you like to see the lake in April, May, and June. You don't want to see it in December and January.
So yeah. Well, you notice I'm down in Key West during the cold months, so I've learned a thing or two.
Yes, I'm well aware. I'm jealous. All right. So thank you, everybody, for watching. As always, I always say all things Chicago Jazz on chicagojazz.com. And until next time, hopefully I will see you all somewhere out on the scene.